From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Here we go on a Tuesday. Q Myers, Scott Gulbranson on Silver and Black today on your channel. The only radio station you need to listen to, of course, because you're part of Raider Nation. This is Raider Nation Radio 920. Make sure you follow the station on Twitter at Twitter. Twitter at RNR 920 AM. Your boy Q254 is where you can find Q on Twitter, and myself at LV Gully as well. So come on there and be respectful and have great conversation. We'll be there for you. All right, we're going back on the phones to 502 Raider D's back with us. How you doing today, buddy?
What's going on with you, gentlemen? How's it going?
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
Yes, yeah. First of all, I want to make a little statement. The only thing that, you know, Al and Mr. Jones have in common is that they were no-nonsense guys that expected perfection out of their teams. The only difference is Jerry Jones backed his up with money. Al Davis backed his up with love of the game and knowing knowledge of the game, what the game took, you know, speed and having guys, flashy guys and fast guys to go out, you know, to be wide receivers and such. But back to this game here, man. This is a phenomenal year for us moving to Vegas. Getting the shiny new Death Star. You know, we were so long in Oakland, man, and the city loved us. Well, the fans in the city loved us. But, you know, the city couldn't support having, you know, building us a new stadium. So, you know, it's sad that that happened. But this is a new start for us. This year is a new start. This is simply not about John and Tampa Bay and all the past and all that other stuff. This is simply about earning and gaining our respect in this league for years to come, period. This game is simply about wins and losses. It's not about Tom Brady. He's 40-something years old. He is not the Tom Brady in his prime. These guys have an excellent defense. All we got to do is go out there. We've proven this year through a couple of different games, averaging 30 points a game, but that we can beat anybody on any given Sunday, like the movie says. All we got to do is go out there and take care of business, man. We are loaded everywhere. The defense is getting better. I predict we're going to win this game, man. We're going to get back and gain our respect. And this year is going to be a year, the prove-it year, that we prove to people that we are here and we are here to stay. Raider Nation for life, fellas. I'm out.
There you go. 502 Raider D, as always. And, you know, he's right. It's about the future. We said that earlier, Q. And right. That, you know, people want, and we're going to spend some time talking to our guest and also at the top of the hour on our own about this need for respect and the desire for it amongst fans. Of course, the team, it's different, but we'll talk about that a little bit. And there's really, as 502 Raider D just said, Q, there's one surefire way to get mutual respect nationwide, and that is by winning.
Exactly.
Plain and simple.
That's what it all boils down to. I would like to go back real quick to his statement he was saying, because I made the comment that Jerry is very Al-like.
Yes.
And I'll go back to that, because they are very similar. Yes, they did a couple things differently, but if you look at it, Jerry Jones is still the owner, the general manager. He's the guy who calls all the shots. Until the day that Al Davis passed away, he was the owner. He was the general manager. He was the guy who called the shots. They were also best friends. There was actually times when Al Davis worked out at the Cowboys facility, even had Cowboys garb on, you know, clothes on, because he didn't have any workout material. The guys were very, very similar and very close. There was a time when Michael Irvin was looking like he was about to get cut from the Cowboys because he was injured and banged up, and Al told him he was going to sign him. The minute Al told him he was going to sign him, Jerry kept him. If Jerry Jones went to the Oakland Coliseum when the Cowboys would play, he would go down to the black hole, and Cowboy fan or Raider fans would be very respectful to him because, again, they all had that same mutual feeling. Now, what 502 Raider said about money and the fact that Jerry would money whip guys, that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, they were both owners that loved their players and loved their team. And the players could always walk into their office directly and speak to them. So, I mean, there's a lot of similarities, man. You go back and look. I understand what you're saying, but there's definitely a lot of similarities between the two.
Well, and in closing on this subject, I'm sure we'll talk about it again. I'm sure somebody else will call in as well. But I will tell you that without Jerry Jones, okay, ready for this, yep. Raider fans?
Exactly.
Without Jerry Jones, this team would not be here in Las Vegas.
Nope.
Period.
Nope.
I mean,
sure wouldn't.
Him and Robert Kraft, probably two teams that Raider fans hate the most, almost. I mean, definitely the Patriots, but and the Cowboys. Nobody likes the Cowboys, right? But except if you're in Texas, where Q is.
I don't think that many people hate the Cowboys unless they're in the NFC East.
No, they don't hate them because
they don't really do anything. They're not a threat.
It's like the Raiders, right? The Raiders had the mystique, and then they weren't good for 30 years, and so exactly. It kind of goes away. But my point is, without Jerry Jones, I mean, Raider fans, you don't have to cheer for the Cowboys, but as far as Jerry Jones goes, you should be thankful for him and respectful of him because. He helped them get here. They would not be
absolutely
here without
did.
Him. So, very interesting point. Okay, it's time for our guest. We're going to go out on the newsmaker line and bring in Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee. He covers the team. Anthony, your first time here on the show. Welcome, and thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, what's going on, Scott? Hey, what's going on, Q? Long time no talk.
What's up, brother? It's a long time no talk.
That's right. You guys with your Fresno roots. We've all lived in Fresno, by the way. All three of us. So funny stuff. Okay, so Anthony, yesterday in the Bee, you wrote a story about the Raiders. You know, the Raiders feel good about themselves. Raider fans, I mean, there's the segment of Raider fans, and we're going to actually talk about it later on the show, that actually, I think, like being miserable. So they might not be happy. But the majority of fans are happy. This team is at 3-2, coming off a huge win in Kansas City against the Chiefs. And now come home to play Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. But last year, too, this team started off hot, and we saw what happened. So your piece was a little bit of a cautionary tale to say, hey, Raider fans, you still got a little ways to go before you feel way good about the season, right?
Yeah, you know, I took a lot of thought about, you know, writing this article because, you know, the Raiders, obviously, like, as you mentioned, started off 3-2. Hit the bye week, come back from the bye week, everything fell apart against Green Bay, and then the week after that, you know, then they face, you know, it just things unravel from there, you know. And yeah, they pick up 3 straight wins after that, but again, things unravel again, you know, when you expected them to beat the Titans and the Jaguars in the week before the Jets. I mean, everybody's talking, oh, yeah, it's going to be a win. But no, you know, that didn't turn out to be the case because, you know, that game was 34-3, so things just unraveled. So when I wrote the story, I'm just like, okay, we're back at that position again, 3-2. You know, you're coming off the bye week playing against Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You just got to slow down. I mean, I just hear the national media talking about, you know, the Raiders, you know, John Gruden, they got this team together, you know, they're going to go on a roll. I mean, they got obviously got the pieces. But, you know, it's one game at a time, you know, and it just, I don't know if they're looking ahead to this next game or what, but it just, I mean, they were a playoff team last year, you know, and it's just one of those things where, you know, when you have 2 home games against the Titans and Jaguars, games that you're expect to win and get yourself in a prime position to get that playoff spot, to see if it goes the other way, it's like, wow, you know, what happened to us? And so here they are a year later, playing, you know, 3-2. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rolling in after smoking the Green Bay Packers. Now you're thinking to yourself, okay, we beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Now we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We made a statement against the Chiefs. Now we got the Buccaneers coming in. So in ways, this is a statement game for the Raiders because, you know, at the Tampa, you go on the road to Cleveland, you don't know what, you know, which Browns team you're going to be playing against.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a cautionary tale, you know, where, you know, yeah, you know, they got the pieces there to make a run in the playoffs, but again, it's just one game at a time.
That's what it is, too, Anthony. And we've been talking about it so far this week, that that's what the NFL is. You know, you could look like a great team, like Green Bay looked great, unstoppable, and then you saw what Tampa Bay did to them. You know, it's just a one-week-at-a-time approach, and you're exactly right. Last year is a great example of what it could happen. You know, if you get a couple of injuries, guys fall off, and all of a sudden you're on a losing streak instead of a winning streak. But as far as just the rosters made and the feelings that you have, if the guys are right, just what are your thoughts on the team in general? As they sit right now, 3-2, heading into this game this week against Tampa Bay.
Well, you know, look at this roster. I mean, the key is Jonathan Abram. I mean, you didn't have Abram, you know, for the rest of the year after the Broncos game, the Monday night opener. I mean, you got the pieces there that this team, you look on paper, this is a playoff team. And they got the makeup. They did great in the draft with Henry Ruggs. You know, who knows with Damon Arnett? You know, we don't know what's going to happen with, you know, with COVID and especially coming off his injury. But, you know, year before, you get Jacobs, you get all these other guys, you get all these pieces, and you got the makeup. I mean, it's just, you're seeing it for the first, what, 4 weeks that you've seen already, like, wow, you know, this offense putting points, you know, something that you expected a year ago. And now you surround weapons for Derek Carr. I mean, it's just the makeup of the roster. I mean, I really believe Mayock and Gruden did a good job in the draft, and not only them, but the scouting team. And, you know, this team, I mean, whether it be this year or the year after that, could actually challenge for AFC West title. Yeah, I understand, yeah, you got Patrick Mahomes over at Kansas City, but this team, the Raiders, what they have right now, the makeup, I mean, they go off and find David Irving today. I mean, you're just putting yourself in a good position to make that run. And I believe that this, with the what you see on the roster, with Jacobs, with Renfro, with, I mean, the name goes on. I mean, it's just this roster, this makeup. I mean, they could really do some damage.
Yeah. Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee, covers the Raiders, is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Anthony, you just mentioned David Irving, as we talked about in the opening of our show, about the signing of him today. Clearly, you know, for as great of a job as Mike Mayock and John Gruden have done constructing this roster, there's been some misses, at least at this point. I'm not passing judgment on guys like Malik Collins or Mo Hurst yet. Mo Hurst just came off the COVID list today. But those guys have not performed enough, which has made them go out and sign a guy like David Irving. What is the impact you think David Irving will have on this team if he can get back to even, geez, 80-90% of what he was when he was with the Cowboys 3 years ago?
Well, with Rob Marinelli there, I really think that he's going to make a big impact for the Raiders. Obviously, you know, he's going to start off the practice squad, but, you know, with him coming on board, I really believe it's really going to give a jolt to the defense. Obviously, you know, the defense struggled the first 3 weeks, and then they cleared together against the Kansas City Chiefs. You saw glimpses of what the defense can do. But, you know, with David Irving, I mean, you need somebody like him to come in and just wreak havoc like he did. You know, you saw glimpses for the Cowboys, especially in 2016 when he had that weak force fumble or whatever it may be. And, you know, with Rob Marinelli, that helps a lot because, you know, Marinelli loves David Irving. I mean, with Malik Collins, yeah, he's struggling, but I really believe that the tide will turn for him as well. You know, you're going to have a new system, sort of like a new system coming to the Raiders, but, you know, with Marinelli, you know, I really believe that defensive line will really get that push, especially with Irving on board, that you can see a different defense when he actually on the active roster.
Anthony, a lot of Raider Nation has been talking about the trade deadline that's coming up on November 3rd, and there's some teams that are struggling, some players that look like they could be in a new place by the end of that trade deadline. Do you see the Raiders, especially now that they went and made this move for David Irving, do you see them making a move by the trade deadline?
That's a good question. You know, I wonder about that. And one of the names I was thinking about, and you saw he was activated today, was Marcus Mariota, and there are some teams out there, like the Cowboys, who need a quarterback. You saw Andy Dalton struggling last night, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think, per se, the Raiders are going to acquire a player, because I don't think they need one. I mean, I believe they're set all over, but, you know, as far as, like, getting draft picks, you may want to, I don't know. I mean, who knows what they're going to do with Mariota. I mean, you got Peterman there, you got obviously Derek Carr starting. So where does Mariota fit in all this? And, you know, with Cowboys really needing a quarterback and some other teams, they may take a poke at the Raiders and say, hey, what can we do to, you know, get Mariota?
Yeah, it's a great question, Anthony, because tomorrow they have to make the decision on Mariota because he was taken off of IR, or he was eligible to come off of IR 3 weeks ago. So they have to do something tomorrow. If they do not take him, if they don't put him on the active roster.
They activate him today.
Oh, they did activate him. See, there you go. See? That's what happens when you're doing show prep and don't see. So they activated him. So clearly he's on the roster. So if they were to move him, I wonder though how much of that salary they have to eat. But I guess they figure it's already counted against their cap this year anyway. But what's fascinating though is I think a lot of fans, Anthony, I keep seeing a lot of people talk about how the Raiders have this quote unquote easy schedule on the back end. And is it more favorable than the first six games? Yes. But you pointed out some games in there I think people are kind of overlooking. You're overlooking Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta's 1-5, but look what they did last week. And they have a healthy Julio Jones, as long as he's not traded. And then you have the Chargers with the young quarterback. He's doing well. Their defense is getting healthier, and they're getting better. Then you have a couple other games. I mean, like you said, Cleveland, they look terrible against Pittsburgh. But the week earlier, they looked pretty good. So for the Raiders to have a sense for whether or not they're a playoff team, I think the next 4 weeks will really clearly tell us that, because they have two games on the road at the Chargers, at the Browns. They have the home game against the Buccaneers and then the Chiefs. So those four games, to me, will really be the telling point for where this team is at overall in a playoff run.
Well, you know, the next four games, you know, obviously they host Tampa, Sunday Night Football, then they go to Cleveland, and then they got to go to L.A. and play the Chargers, and then he played Denver at Allegiant Stadium. I mean,
yeah, Denver, that's right.
But Justin Herbert, I mean, that guy is just going off. I mean, he's obviously a threat. I mean, these next four games, next 4 weeks, you know, this will tell you where the Raiders are going to be, you know, at the end of the season, because, you know, AFC West, you know, foes, you know, that's always difficult to play, you know, whether it be home or away. I mean, you know what the Chargers are going to bring, you know, with Herbert and, you know, whoever that running back, and especially on defense, you know, you got both on the other end, so he's always going to be a threat. Broncos as well, even without Von Miller. I mean, these next 4 weeks, it's going to say a lot about the Raiders' 2020 season, you know, whether.
Yeah.
They're a pretender or a contender.
Yeah. No, you're right. Anthony Galaviz from the Fresno Bee. My friend, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch up with you again down the line very soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. There you go. Anthony Galaviz. Follow him on Twitter, too. Good writer. Great paper. The Fresno Bee's always been a great paper.
Yeah, they do a good job.
They really do. It still is. So, but that's where I'm worried, though. I hear a lot of people, oh, we're going to beat this team. We're going to beat that team. It's like, wait a minute.
Man,
in the NFL
it's
today,
a week-to-week league, man.
Yeah, and especially this year, you just don't know. I mean,
right?
You see, like the Packers. Now, I'm not saying the Buccaneers aren't a good team, because they are, clearly, but the Packers look so good the week before, then they go down to Tampa and they get their head handed.
They get waxed.
Yeah,
and sometimes it happens.
It does. And look, if you're a longtime Raiders fan, you know that the AFC West games in the AFC West are always knockdown dragout. I mean, they just are. They just always are that way because they're division rivalries. They're old. They go back to the AFL days, and players take them personally, you know, and they get geared up for them on one side or the other. Denver's coming along. I think Drew Locke made a couple of mistakes late in the game, but he looked pretty good as well. So this division's getting better. The quarterbacks in the division are getting better. So we'll have to see how that goes. And then don't forget the old division nemesis, Philip Rivers in Indy, finally got a win. I still think they can win that game, but still, they're not a pushover. That's
the key. No. I'll tell you, man, regardless what you think of the schedule, the rest of the way, none of the games are pushovers. They might not be as daunting and the hardest games like the beginning of the schedule, but they're all going to be dogfights, man. It's going to be games that are going to stress you out, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We're going to step aside here in about a minute and take a break. When we come back, we're going to take some more of your phone calls. What do you guys think? The Mariota thing, thank you for correcting me on that. I don't know why I didn't see that one. Gosh.
We talked about it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, we did. See, it's just Tuesday.
You're bad.
Tuesdays are like my Mondays for some. Monday, I get pumped up because we're back on the air, right? But then Tuesdays, I always seem to have like a mental block. I don't know what it is, but I guess it's a personal problem. But we're going to have fun anyway, man. But yeah, the Mariota situation is interesting because I did not know whether or not they would activate him today. Clearly they did, but it was going to be fascinating to see if they didn't, what they were going to do, because then suddenly you're paying a guy $7 million not to play. But I don't know that there's going to be any takers for him on the trade market, though. I just don't
see it. I don't either. Yeah. It was interesting, though, when Anthony said that, because I wasn't even thinking about, you know, the Raiders trading players away.
Yeah.
I was thinking about them possibly bringing guys in. And then when he said Marcus Mariota, I just don't think that the Raiders – well, I know, actually – they haven't showcased him enough for anyone to even be interested in him at this point. You know what I mean?
Right.
He just hasn't been out there, so you can't showcase a guy who's not playing.
Yeah, nobody knows where he's at, and his injury was never really disclosed that much, so you don't know exactly what happened and where he's at with that. We'll get a crack at Coach Gruden tomorrow, I think, so we can ask questions about Mariota and the other guys on the team too. Brian Edwards, for example, where's he at? Vinny said yesterday that he didn't look probable for this week, but then tweeted out something earlier, so we'll have to ask him about Brian Edwards later on the show. Okay, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls as the Raider Talk rolls on with your boy Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today.